Some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
And speaking of that, thanks, Logan. Speaking of that, I learned something just now. I checked on, I was talking about pH with the caller in the last hour, and the pH of baking soda is not as high as I thought it is. It's about 8.2, not 12. And vinegar is a little bit lower than I said. It's range the 5 to 10% vinegar, which would be from apple cider vinegar up to the 10% grain alcohol stuff that we recommend for the herbicide ingredient, ranges from about 2.4 to 3.4. So still you have that big wide range. It's why one of the reasons why those two things work so well as a cleaning mixture. And if you've ever cleaned with vinegar and baking soda, you probably already know this, but you don't mix them together and then clean with them. They'll bubble and spew, and it can even be kind of a problem, especially if you put it in a container. But what you do is you put one or the other out first on the surface you're trying to clean, and then you add the other. And as it starts to bubble, then you wipe it and clean with it, and it works very well. But anyway, the pH thing is something that we talk about in the professional book. Also, it is a result more so than a controlling factor. There are some exceptions, like I mentioned before. Blueberries are one of those things that require low pH. And one of the things that there's always a little bit of controversy about, certain people, certain universities recommend peat moss to fight diseases like take-all patch. And they recommend peat moss for that, and they say that they're doing it because it lowers the pH, and that's what does the control of the disease. Well, we find that compost that has a much higher pH works as well or better on that same disease. And if lowering the pH is really all you want to do, a much more cost-effective thing would be to use compost tea or Garrett juice or fish and seaweed and just add a little bit more vinegar to it than normal. The vinegar will lower the pH in a hurry. We had a situation on landscape in downtown Dallas years ago where I was called by the contractor because they were trying to follow the specifications on the soil, and the soil said that the specifications on the soil said that the pH had to be 7.0. And they said that their soil was 7.75 or something like that. And I said, well, that's great. Don't worry about that. That's a very nice pH, middle of the road to start with, and it's not that big a deal anyway. You know, same thing I've just been telling you all this morning. He said, nope, we've got somebody that's in charge of the specifications on this project that's a little bit weird, and we're going to have to bring it to that exact number or we're not going to get paid. And I said, fine, go buy a 55-gallon barrel of vinegar. 10% vinegar is what I recommend in this case. And I told him how to dilute it down and use a little bit, check the pH and see what it was. Well, they thought, well, if a little bit of vinegar is good, a whole bunch of vinegar would be real good. And they put out quite a bit more vinegar than I recommended. And they called me back and they said, Howard, we have ripped the pH of this soil down to 4.5 or 5 or something like that. Now we got to get it back up to the. And I said, fine, just water and dilute it. And told them that they could use some other things. Like diatomaceous earth and like, by the way, in that thing I was talking about this morning about what I don't recommend for bed preparation, they had mentioned diatomaceous earth is one of the things I use. I like that. I like diatomaceous earth used. That fits into the rock category of bed preparation. You know, you compost rock and sugar. Natural diatomaceous earth is in the rock category, and like a zeolite, it's a volcanic origin, and it's a good product to use in the soil. A lot of trace minerals. It has available silica, which is sometimes not available in the soil, even though it's the most plentiful element on earth. A lot of times putting out a material that has available silica is a good thing to do. But it doesn't help you at all with insect control, like was suggested in the question from the listener. Putting diatomaceous earth out on the soil and mixing it into the soil, it will have zero insect control, because as soon as it hits the soil, it's going to be moist. It's going to absorb the moisture from the soil, be totally saturated, which eliminates its dehydrating properties, and that's how it kills insects. So mixed into the soil, it's just a beneficial thing for microbes, insects, the chemistry, the physics of the soil and all that. I recommend it, but don't be under the misconception that it'll help you with insect control. On the other hand, if you have fleas, and we're getting a lot of questions about fleas, kind of popping up this year, beneficial nematodes are the best control, but the second best control, especially when it's hot and dry, is to dust natural diatomaceous earth over the surface of the soil, just so it's on the surface, and you'll kill a whole lot of adult fleas real fast with that. Once it filters on into the grass and the planting and gets down to the soil again and collects the moisture, then it's not going to have any effect at all. But when you first put it out and it's hot and dry on the surface of the soil, natural DE will knock out the fleas very, very well. Nematodes work better, but you've got to have enough moisture in the soil out there to keep them alive. What does that mean? That means enough moisture to keep the plants growing. You don't have to have it sopping wet, and you can do it when it's hot. They'll be fine. Just follow up, have it moist before you put the beneficial nematodes out, and then follow up with some irrigation after you have put them out. The number to be with me is 866-444-3478, an open line for you. Here's Neil. Neil in Fort Worth. Neil, are you there? Sounds very dead there, Kristen. See if Neil is still with us. Joanne in Louisville next up then.
Yes, sir. I had a question about grub worms, mainly because I don't have access every day to your website to check this out. But something came up with a friend's yard, and there are kind of patches where there is no grass. They're not even patches that you would see for fungus. And they're at different areas in the yard. And then they were telling me that they had kind of half a flock of birds land on this yard and were just pecking away. And they hadn't put out grass seed or anything. So I was thinking, are there worms? Is something eating, you know, down in the roots of the grass that it's just not doing well? So I thought, well, let me check with you.
Well, there's all kinds of possibilities, Joanne. It could be grubs. It could be chinch bugs. It could be other insects, things that are hanging around on the surface of the turf area that the birds are coming after. Depends on what kind of birds they were and all that sort of thing. But they'll eat seed and they'll eat insects, and it could be a combination of the two. We're seeing a lot of turf problems right now. Most of them are related to the drought and the heat. But when you have the drought and the heat, you have stress, and then other things can take advantage of that situation and come in. And chinch bugs are in that category. Grub worms are in that category. Diseases, same thing. If you've got the stress in the turf, it may be a fungal disease. Could be even bacterial, but fungal diseases are the most common. And if that's the case,
this has been going on a while. I know what you mean about the stress and all, because I've seen it on yards. But this has been, I want to say, 9 months. This person's been having problems.
Well, still could be the same thing. Doesn't matter how long it's been going on. The thing I would do is just do a real close inspection, dig down in the soil, and see if you have grub worms. If there's a grub worm problem, you can see the grub worms. And and if there are grub worms, if you dig down in, you know, they use the formula, if you dig down in 1 foot, if you see 15 grubs or some number they've pulled out of a hat, that's a problem. But if you dig down in the soil and see any grub worms at all that are actually connected and eating the roots of the plants, That's enough grub worms to treat. The treatment's easy. It's the same beneficial nematodes that I just mentioned, and it'll knock them out. If if you dig down and you see a grub worm here and over here a foot away, another one, and 2 feet, 3 feet away, I see one more. In a lot of cases, those grub worms are not only not hurting the turf, they're beneficial. They're feeding on dead and decaying organic matter, and they are aerating the soil, and they're not a harmful thing at all. What's much more common is the drought and some kind of disease situation, and what's better to put out a lot of times is whole ground cornmeal at about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet, and that usually will take care of it. I'll talk about a couple of other issues related to that when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
They say that their service is the most comprehensive plant analysis program available. And, you know, I agree with them. Who am I talking about? Well, it's Texas Plant and Soil Lab. They have a brand-new website. It's called AskThePlant.com. Their telephone number is 956-383-0739. This is the company that does soil testing, water testing, petiole testing, the stem testing, in other words, and anything related to toxic materials. See the new website. It's AskThePlant.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. The main thing to my dogs is the taste, but I notice how it makes them look and feel. Other major point to me is the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients around, things like prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. Some of the dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's always something for everyone. Munster Natural Pet Foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the product in your area and make your dogs and cats healthier and happier.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best-kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. I think Neil is back with us in Fort Worth. Hi, Neil.
Good morning.
What's up?
I apologize for earlier. I think the plague of locusts referred to in the Bible really meant cell phones.
Cell phones are a problem sometimes. No big deal. What's up?
Anyway, what I called originally about was my grapevines, but then hearing you mention the vinegar and baking soda, occurred to me to mention to you, I've been using vinegar to rinse with for probably about a year or so. And then after, I'd say about 6 months, it stopped working as well, and I added Epsom salt to it, and it's practically a miracle for me.
Rinsing in what way?
I have about a two-gallon pitcher, plastic pitcher that I keep in the shower and put in.
Oh, after you take a shower, you rinse with vinegar and Epsom salt.
Right.
Okay.
And then more or less by accident, I also discovered that that mixture in a bathtub, soak in it for about 20 minutes, and it's like the mosquitoes were never there.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll need to tell my wife, Judy, about that. The mosquitoes really tear her up, but that makes sense. Whenever you have a balance of chemistry in your body, there's probably some natural repelling situations that occur, but the vinegar just helps clean the soap residue off, and I think it's a great thing to do. I especially recommend it when you're traveling and you're around water that's dirtier than you normally are used to or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so getting to my grapevines, I put out half a dozen of Red Flame seedless and Thompson seedless.
Uh-huh.
One of them that gets the most sun exposure, and they're planted next to my roses, early in the summer started getting white spots like sun scald.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the leaves that have been there the longest have it all over. And I noticed probably a couple of weeks ago some little bugs when I hit it with a water hose. And they're so small that I couldn't even get a good look at them. But I finally did, and they're yellow with a black stripe across the body, or maybe two black stripes.
Okay, that's one of the striped cucumber beetles or something similar. That is a pretty tough insect. Is this the first year you've grown these grapes, Neil?
It is. It is. Okay. And in fact, just because I didn't like where some of them were, I moved four of them over along along my fence, and they're not having any problem. Just the one that's in the original location is.
Are they on an arbor, or are they against a wall?
They're against a stucco wall.
Okay. That's the problem. I've got grapes that have been torn down. They're laying on the ground right now because we're having to repair from all the hail damage, the building that they were on. But anytime you have them on a wall that faces west, which is what I have too, that's the worst place to have sunburn and stress that leads to other kind of things. The grapes will do better, and they are doing better where you've moved them out to a new location probably, and they're getting morning and afternoon sun, not just afternoon. Is that right?
No, actually, the ones that lived are on my against my cedar fence in the backyard, and
but do they get
faces west.
Oh, wow. Well, that really is unusual because usually that's going to be where they would burn the worst. The ones that are burned are facing east?
They're facing north, which I know sounds really strange, but the one, and it's only one that's having this problem, it's in a corner of that stucco wall, mm-hmm. and it gets full sun until probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, that reflected heat and all that from the stucco is not good at all. Against a wood fence, you can get away with that. That's what we have, too. Ours is a wood fence, and it's facing west. And they were doing really well, considering the fact that we weren't even maintaining them. They were just kind of taking care of themselves. But when it really gets the severe heat and you get that reflection of the wall, that's when the various pests start to show up.
Okay.
And it can be striped cucumber beetles. It can be lace bugs. It can be aphids, spider mites, all kinds of things. So long term, the best thing would be to have them on an arbor so they get morning and afternoon sun. If you've got to leave them on the wall, keep the wall wood or something that is a little bit softer than a stucco that's going to reflect and be so incredibly hot.
Okay, well, I'll move those last two in the fall. I just, I left them there because I liked that location. Now I don't like the location.
Well, now, the other thing to do, and this is what we should have done like we tell people to do, and we didn't, and that's spray on a regular basis Garrett juice with BioWash in the mixture. And the BioWash is very important when those various pests pop up when you've got a plant that's in stress for whatever reason. It also helps the plant grow. It actually helps photosynthesis of the plant, the cleaning action that it has. So use your own homemade Garrett juice or use the commercial version that has the fish in it. If you make your own, put fish in yours as well. And just give a little bit more of a regular maintenance there. And, of course, good mulch on the base. You don't want the sun hitting the bare soil and frying those roots that are right on the top
right.
of the ground.
Yeah, you mentioned just earlier, and I'll tell you my favorite is the native cedar mulch.
Native cedar is great. I'm going to have to run. Do you have anything else?
I do. I'll talk to you if you do.
Okay, I'll put you on hold. Hang on a minute. We'll be back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Line open for you at 866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is headed to the Mideast with Syria's crisis high on the agenda. During his five-day trip, Panetta is scheduled to consult with the new Islamist leaders of Tunisia and Egypt and meet with long-standing allies Israel and Jordan. Mitt Romney's visited one of Judaism's most holy sites. The Republican presidential candidate's on a pre-election trip to Israel aiming to bolster his foreign policy credentials. He visited the Western Wall in the old city of Jerusalem after meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Pakistani intelligence officials say a suspected U.S. missile strike has killed four people near the Afghan border. The officials say the missiles hit a car in a village in North Waziristan. The area is home to several Afghan and Pakistani militant groups, as well as foreign al-Qaeda fighters. But the officials say the identity of the four dead is not yet clear. More details at srnnews.com.
Attention women. Finally, there is an anti-wrinkle cream that works instantly, and you're invited to try it risk-free. Youthful Gold is the answer to wrinkles that you've been waiting for. No matter how deep your lines are, Youthful Gold will fade your wrinkles from view in just minutes. This miracle cream combines real 24-karat gold with new anti-aging particles. Watch in amazement as Youthful Gold works on deep forehead wrinkles, crow's feet, laugh lines, under-eye creases. Wherever your wrinkles are, Youthful Gold will help you look years younger instantly. And today, you can try it risk-free. When you call now, you'll get a tube of Youthful Gold to instantly reduce the look of your wrinkles. Call in the next 5 minutes and we'll double your supply. That's two tubes of Youthful Gold. But hurry, this offer won't last. Just call 1-800-416-1697. That's 1-800-416-1697. Call 1-800-416-1697.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Cross. Pinch hitting in the seventh, the Cubs, Reed Johnson, caught the Cardinals by surprise when he squared up on the first pitch with runners on first and third and two outs. Johnson's bunt fell perfectly between reliever Brian Fuentes and the third base side, allowing pinch runner Tony Campata to score the game-winning run in a 3-2 victory. Johnson says he was very aware of Cards third baseman Matt Carpenter as he was looking for the bunt.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of waiting for him to move in a little bit, and you know, you just kind of peek out of the corner of your eye, and he's still back there. I'm digging in, he's still back there, so I guess he's going to stay there.
Elsewhere, Los Angeles blanked San Francisco 10-0. That allows the Dodgers to move within one game of the West-leading Giants. Mike Minor struck out nine batters in Atlanta's 2-1 win over Philadelphia. Elsewhere, it was Pittsburgh 4, Houston 3, Miami 4-2 over San Diego, Washington 4, Milwaukee 1, Cincinnati 9, Colorado 7, Arizona 6, the New York Mets 3. This is SRN Sports. In the American League, Chicago beat Texas 5-2. Texas second baseman Ian Kinsler on his Western leading Rangers losing 6-10.
Obviously, offensively, we're not clicking the way we want to, and we're going to keep going. Play again tomorrow. It's game to the South.
Tampa Bay beat the LA Angels 3-0. It was Oakland 6-1 over Baltimore. Toronto 5, Detroit 1. Boston 8, the New York Yankees 6. Seattle 4, Kansas City 3. Minnesota 12, Cleveland 5. The first Ryan Lochte-Michael Phelps matchup in the 400-meter individual medley was no contest at the Olympics. Lochte took the gold, winning by more than 3 seconds, while Phelps failed to even medal. Lochte says it feels pretty strange to have teammate Michael Phelps finish fourth.
Tell you what, it's weird. It's weird not having Michael with me on the medal stand. But you know what? Michael, still, to me, he is one of the world's greatest.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and I think that Neil has stayed with us. Neil, are you still there?
I am.
What else do you have real quick?
Did you read the article yesterday about the dead zone in the Gulf?
I did not, but that's been around for a long time. Was there anything new in it?
There is. The folks that monitor it say this year's is much smaller than normal, and the reason is because of the drought, because in the absence of the normal rainfall, not as much chemicals are being pushed into the Mississippi.
Well, that's right. It's primarily the synthetic fertilizers, but the pesticides that go along with it aren't doing any good either. That's true. What paper was that in?
I think it was in the Star-Telegram.
But, okay.
You know, what struck me is it's just amazing to me that we have that kind of insight into the source of the problem, but we're not trying to do anything about it.
Well, somebody was asking me specifically about that I was playing golf with a couple of days ago. You know, if we've got all this proof, why is it so hard to get people to do it? And, you know, we wrote about it. In fact, it's still on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. There's a button over there on the left that says Organophobia. And it's the reasons why it's so difficult to I'm talking specifically about why it's so hard to get people to accept organics, but it really applies to anything that you're going to change.
Yeah.
Just changing the status quo, whether it's, you know, political something or you know, something that people do at their home or anything in between. It's just the status quo is extremely powerful. People are comfortable with it. And
well, I'll tell you what else is powerful is the chemical lobby in Washington.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. There's no question about it. And one of the reasons is whatever the status quo is, there's a financial position there.
Right.
And so to change that paradigm, to change that current situation, you're going to be goring somebody. It's just like right now with the farm bill. You know, the best thing you could do with the overall United States farm bill is throw the whole thing out. And a lot of people would have a heart attack about that. Well, I need to, you know, get my cut of the deal. And, you know, it's going to be hurting a certain number of people to do it. But if the farm bill didn't exist and we weren't propping up chemical agriculture, people would have to go organic because it works better. You know, it works better in every way.
Yeah.
But that status quo is just so powerful that they're actually looking like they're making a few changes this year in the thing, and we'll see how good it is. But that's just another great example. We've shown people how to save 40% to 50% on their water bill by using organic techniques, and there's still an extremely small percentage of people that have acted on that to put it in place and take advantage of that great benefit.
I did all the native plantings at another house that I own, and last year in the worst summer on record, as far as everybody reports, I hand-watered 3 times, and the yard did tremendous.
Yeah, it's just one of those things we have to deal with. We just keep hammering away, Neil. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. It's Richard's turn in Lincoln, Massachusetts.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Got a question for you, Howard. I planted some tomatoes in the earth box containers.
Uh-huh.
I did cherries. They did fine. And then in the other container, I put a Better Boy and Romas. And then I put some Epsom salt to counteract the lots of men rot that I had last year.
Uh-huh.
The Better Boys came out fine. However, all the Romas had blossom end rot. I had put 2 cups in the soil, and somebody else had just said I overdid it on the Epsom salt, that I should have probably put a tablespoon. So
a little bit smaller, but that shouldn't have caused the blossom end rot. It should have helped you prevent it, actually.
And that's what was strange. The two tomatoes in the same container. One had it, one didn't.
What's your bed preparation in that container? It's probably a peat moss-based potting soil.
It was. It was a little bit of regular gardening soil, which I think was, I can't remember, another organic planter soil. And then I put the Epsom salts and then a holly tone organic vegetable. And then
okay.
I foliar fed with the chemical also.
Okay. All that is maybe related. You're talking about the black kind of rectangular box.
Yeah, it looks like a recycling bin.
Yeah,
I've
tried that myself. Why are you doing that? Are you limited in space?
I'm actually on a military installation, and the place I'm at had been raised over and built up again. So
I got you.
What's in this soil?
Okay, all right. The thing that I noticed when I tried the box, what's the name of the thing?
Earth box.
Yeah, when I tried one. I found it, like with any pot, any container, it was a little bit difficult to maintain the moisture level in the mix. So there's 2 things I'd recommend that you do, and you'll see that the blossom end rot will go away, and you'll probably have better production in general, Richard, with this situation. One is you need to add some of the organic amendments that we use to the base that you have. And you can make up your own Garrett juice, drench it in. You could get some lava sand or some kind of volcanic material, mix it in water, and just the water out of it, watering with it. So you're adding some of these rock minerals each time you water rather than putting it in a whole bunch of volume of material. You could use zeolite. You could use diatomaceous earth, lava sand, basalt, granite, decomposed granite. Soak those rock materials in water, and then use that water that you made, kind of a tea, a rock tea is basically what it would be, for your watering. You'll see tremendous benefit from that. In fact, everybody could do that to a degree. The other thing is get a hold of an old golf club and break the head off of it and use the golf club grip to probe the soil. And make sure as you're watering, you're not keeping it too wet or too dry. And do that probing on a regular basis. drench the Garrett juice in that rock juice, that rock tea we were talking about, and probably put some cornmeal, put about a cup of whole ground cornmeal in a 5-gallon bucket of water and drench it through too. Stop using the synthetic foliar fertilizer. Use a Garrett juice mixture that you can make yourself or buy the commercial product, either one. And I think you'll see the blossom end rot go away and your production go up.
The foliar spray I use is called Spray and Grow. It's out of a company out of
Rockford. Oh, that's not a chemical. That's an okay product. That's not a foliar feeding product as much as a biostimulant.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, so that's okay. That's fine. Just add to it some liquid compost or make it out of coffee grounds and put in some fish and seaweed, a little apple cider vinegar, and a little liquid molasses. You will have created then Garrett juice.
Okay.
That's what it is. But just go ahead and keep using that. Just add the other materials to it. Probe the soil, add the rock tea to the mix, and I think you'll see a much better solution there.
Is there anything I can plant this late in the season as far up north?
The things that grow really fast are things I just did a class. My wife got me involved in a deal the other day, and we talked to a bunch of kids, and she wanted to tell them about radishes since they're so fast growing. And so radishes, several different kinds, would be great for you as you're starting to pretty soon get into some cooler weather. They love that. And you can do all kinds of greens and all kinds of cool season things. Yeah, you're in the window right now to do the fall gardening and just have some great production.
Yeah, believe it or not, today's high is only going to be 71.
Yeah, well, those cool season things, you know, the greens, the broccoli, the you could do chives, you can do all kinds. Looking on our website and check out the different vegetables and herbs, our book that's it's the Texas Organic Vegetable Growing Book will tell you about the things that will grow in that cooler time of the year, and also the herb book that I did if you want to have a reference tool.
Thank you much.
Appreciate the call. Even though you're not in Texas, you can just go by what we're talking about in general as far as the temperatures and things like that. Actually, there's a lot of things you can do in that nice cool weather. Lynn in Ovilla next up. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Howard. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I also have, well, they're kind of like earth boxes, but they're called garden patches. I'm growing herbs in them.
Are they plastic also?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And it's because we just haven't had the time to, you know, plow up some land and, you know, get rid of the, you know, I've had problems with dirt gardening. But anyway, well, the problem I'm having this year, worse than other years, is this little webworm is just decimating my oregano, my thyme, and it's starting now for the first year, it's starting to attack my rosemaries and then go into my basil in the other planter.
Hmm.
So I was wondering, you know, what's a good way to prevent it and I guess salvage whatever herbs I've got left.
Well, I'd do the same thing that we were just talking about.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to stick with the box, get yourself a probe and probe down there. For
uh-huh.
whatever reason, Lynn, it's 10 times harder to balance the water in a container as it is in the ground.
Really?
And especially a plastic container, you know, that doesn't breathe like a clay pot does or something. If you're going to stay with container gardening, I would strongly recommend going to some clay pots. If you have space, which it sounds like you do, you need to go ahead and get your planting in the ground, and you'll see tremendous improvement.
One of these years, we'll do that.
But get a probe and probe and balance your watering out better.
Uh-huh.
When you're in a container like that and you're using a potting soil that's a peat moss-based potting soil, there's a limit of available trace minerals. So
uh-huh.
doing that, do you hear me talking about soaking rock materials in water and using that juice, that tea?
Now, I have some lava sand.
That's great. Soak the lava sand in water. If you can mix it into the soil, if you're not already full to the brim, that's fine. But I was just thinking when you're using one of those boxes, you've got the soil all the way up to the top. Just soak the rock materials in water, stir it around, you'll get tiny particles of the rock in the water and use that to water the plants.
Okay, but it's already pretty pulverized. Does that matter?
Well, it's just going to be finer if you do it in
water.
Do
okay.
both if you've got the space to do
it. And I've got Greenspan also.
Oh, that's great. Use all those rock materials. Use sugar. Use the dry molasses.
And that'll help make the plant healthier and stronger so it'll not attract those little webworms.
That's exactly right. The reason they're there is the plant's in stress for some reason and attracting that in there. The other thing is, just like we talk over and over and over again, spray, and it's easy to do in this case when it's small, put the Garrett juice in a quart hand sprayer and spritz it and put the Garrett juice and put a little biowash in with it and do it on a weekly basis, and you'll see dramatic improvement.
Okay, good. And I also have a bunch of orange oil. Can you use
Let me
that
put you on hold and talk with you off the air. I got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Thrive by Alpha Biosystems is a product that you hear me talk about an awful lot. It's a product I use a lot. I use it in my vegetable garden, herb garden, and landscaping. You can even use it in your potted plants like I do as well. It's a product that contains mycorrhizal fungi and beneficial bacteria and will stimulate the life in the soil, the life on the roots of plants, and the production of whatever you're trying to grow. UseThrive.com is the website for more information.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs that produce great results and will save you money. This week's featured product is Citrus Green. Citrus Green is a natural alternative for your house and garden needs. Learn about its many applications at naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Organic programs and products that work. naturalorganicwarehouse.com.
Back in the late 1800s, Texas became as well known for its mineral water as it was for its cattle. People were flocking to towns like Mineral Wells for one reason and one reason only, to soak up the healthful qualities of the all-natural mineral-laden waters. Today, people throughout Texas still enjoy the benefits of the most famous of those wells, simply known as the Crazy Well. Reverse osmosis, RO, is used by most companies, but it strips the water of its minerals. A great alternative to drinking RO water is the naturally occurring mineral waters like Crazy Water from Mineral Wells, Texas. Mother Nature has provided Crazy Water the perfect mix of over 11 dissolved minerals in these naturally alkaline waters. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us on the homepage to find a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to the store to get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
It's kind of humorous now. Everybody out there is trying to get on the green bandwagon. Even some of the polluters who still recommend toxic fertilizers and pesticides. There's one company, though, that's been truly green for a very long time. It's the Medina Corporation down in Hondo, Texas. When it comes to taking care of your lawn, your garden, or your farm, Medina's products cover all the bases. All of the Medina products work by stimulating the soil biology that I talk about all the time. That helps with all plants. Whether growing herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, you can feel good knowing that you're spending your dollars wisely, as well as treating your soil, plants, and the environment right. All of Medina's products improve the soil. Some are totally organic. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina now, and it's available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website for more information is MedinaAg.com. You'll find these wonderful products at any store that sells organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And there's an open line all of a sudden here to jump on at 866-444-3478. I was talking to Lynn off the air a little bit more. She had a question about orange oil, and the question was, can you mix that with the Garrett juice spray and the bio wash for insect control and so forth? And the answer is yes, especially if you keep it under 2 ounces per gallon of water. And in the case where you're using bio wash, I think using about an ounce per gallon is probably all you need, and you'll get some benefit there, and you will kill pest insects. If you do that every time you spray and get it up around 2 ounces per gallon, you're going to kill some beneficial insects with it, especially the smaller ones. So using it only if you have some pest problems is a good idea. But orange oil is fine in the organic program, but don't use it in the heavy mixtures like we recommend for fire ant control. Some of those recommendations are in the 4 to 6 ounces per gallon, which is probably too much. You probably could kill fire ants at the 2 ounces also. But some of the products that have been put on the market that contain orange oil say to use that much. And if you use that much and you get it on plant foliage, it'll burn the heck out of the foliage. You know, that's one of the reasons why the organic herbicide called Avenger that we like so much work so well. It's just a real strong delaminine mixture with a surfactant in there that helps that delaminine stick on the leaves and soak in, and it kills plant foliage very well. So if you've got a fire ant mixture and you think, well, that's good for killing fire ants, I think I'll spray it on the plants, you might do a lot of damage, so be real careful about that. Crazy Rick in Royce City next up. Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good, Howard. I hope you're doing the same.
Yes, sir.
Hey, when are you going to get Judith McGarry on again to start talking more about on a regular basis, actually, to talk about what's going on in Congress? You know, she's with the Farm and Ranch Freedom Association. And
yeah, I know her real well. In fact, I called her earlier to see if I could just catch her on that, and I haven't heard back from her yet, but we will we'll do that. They've got their finger on the pulse on that probably better than anybody.
Oh yeah, well I just got a action alert from them you know, to get people or have us notify other folks about this, what do they call it, fiscal year 2013 agricultural appropriations bill, because it's got a Monsanto rider in there that, although it's wrapped up in farmer-friendly language, the provision inserted in the agricultural appropriations bill, simply a biotech industry ploy to continue to sell GMO seeds even when a court of law has found they were approved by the USDA illegally. It's unnecessary and an unprecedented attack on the U.S. judicial review process.
Well, the GMO thing just continues to be a nightmare. You know, there's just so much money involved in that, and both political parties are in bed on that deal. I don't know what we can do more than people like Judith and others are doing, just keep getting the word out there, and people put pressure on their representatives. But boy, that's a tough one.
Well, I want to personally suggest over the air with you, if you'd allow me, to get people to actually look at this agricultural appropriations bill, especially sections 10,011, 10,013, and 10,014 of the House Agriculture Committee's version of that 2012 bill, because they're even more dangerous. Because what they do, they allow the GMO crop or GMO companies, GE companies, to just totally go around any of the placed right now, you know, the National Environmental Policy Act and the Endangered Species Act, and, you know, they get to go around those things, and they weaken the USDA's remaining review under the Plant Protection Act. They just get to go around it, which, you know, does nothing more than, you know, damage each and every one of us when we start to consume these products or even use these products on our landscape. You and I talked in the past, you know, what is the possible damage, you know, with all these organic products that we use that have the soy flakes, you know, like the molasses is being put on soy, and the cornmeal that is, you know, almost all cornmeal now is GM, and if it's not been manufactured that way, it's drifting into the non-GM fields, and those products that we're using on our landscapes, like the cornmeal, the corn gluten meal, and all that. What is the damage in the future, or the possible damage in the future, to us, our landscapes, and our pets and animals, you know, from using these products in an organic method?
You know, I know it's something that's tough, and I think that maybe why they it looked like they were doing some good things with the Farm Bill, you know, cutting out some of the subsidies and cutting back on the overall expenditures. Maybe that was the smoke screen to try to slide some of these other things in there. The problem is, as you know, the GMO thing is out of the barn. I mean, it's out there. All we can do is keep talking about it and hopefully somebody shuts the door on it. But it's not going to eliminate it because it's already out there. Those GMO genes are already in the system. Appreciate you calling. We'll try to get Judith McGarry, who knows the technical goings-on and what's really being talked about at the House and Senate level, and we'll see if there's anything that we can possibly do. Appreciate your call, Rick. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number to be on the show is, and we've got another hour for you, 866-444-3478. And if you want to get our free newsletter, I hadn't mentioned that today, probably should, just send us an email, send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. If you don't get our newsletter, you can see the past ones on dirtdoctor.com. Be back in a minute.